Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good God evening to everyone. Thank you for tuning in tonight to Totally Whole Radio Broadcast. I am your host for tonight's show, Pastor Bridget. And we are so excited about our discussion that we have planned for this evening. I'm hoping and praying that everyone who's tuning in is having a great God evening, that you have already had a great God day. We know that our God is good, and He is a wonderful God, and so we thank Him for bringing us to this moment in this day. I'm going to ask you at this time if you would go and share with a friend, a family member, the show tonight, that you would go and tell someone that we're on the airways and to join in. And we're also going to ask that as you listen to our topic of discussion, that when we open up the telephone lines, that you consider calling in and maybe write down what you want to say beforehand. If you have a question, if you have an opinion, we invite all opinions and questions and, you know, commentary. You do have a timeline, of course, but we definitely invite you to share and have your say, to have your say. Well, listen, it's good to be back with you on this evening. Our subject matter tonight is, should you be kicked out? Have you ever been to a place and you kind of made yourself really comfortable and you were just excited about being there and seemed like everybody there was happy about having you, and that you were just, you know, a part of the family or part of the club, whatever the case may have been, and you just knew you were going to be there as long as you wanted to? My. Well, tonight we want to ask the question, should churches kick members out of their church for not paying tithes? It seems like it's a trend that we have been hearing about as of late, that members have been kicked out of the church for not paying their tithes. Now, what is that all about? Somebody tell me what's really going on. And so I want to share something that caught my attention, and my co-host will be coming on in a minute, and she had brought some things to my attention as well. And when she did, I just went, searching and looking at some things and, you know, trying to see what really was happening here with this, seemed to be a trend that we, you know, are hearing about one after another. And, you know, I don't know how extensive it is, but we know now that we have all this social media, activity, and people can really voice what it is that they're, going through, and they can put it out there in the public sphere through social media. So if it was going on beforehand, obviously, you know, most of us have never gotten wind of it, but if you got Facebook, Twitter, and all the other things, Instagram and everything else, email, you've heard, you know, perhaps about some of this stuff about folk being put out of the church. Well, a Georgia church seems to have taken tithing to a whole nother level. They got real serious about this, so much so that they kicked out a 92-year-old woman from its congregation for her failure to make constant and consistent financial and physical participation to the church. Now, this is in quotes now, constant and consistent financial and physical participation to the church. Josephine King has been attending the First African Baptist Church in Bainbridge for 50 years, according to the Christian Post. Recently, to her utter surprise, she received a letter signed by the church's senior pastor. They even put his name in here, so because it's out there in the public sphere, his name is Pastor Derek Mike, saying she is no longer considered a member of the church. Now, her nephew, Gerald Simmons, denounced the way the church treated his aunt, saying it is wrong for the church to turn its back on somebody simply because he or she failed to give tithes. You shouldn't chase the individual down, Simmons told WALB-TV. You shouldn't do that. If that's the case, you're money hungry, he says. You're money hungry. He said his aunt is unable to make tithes and at times can't attend church service because she is not feeling well. He said the church should have considered her condition before it made its decision to kick her out. And you have to have money to make these churches run. But it's not about money, Simmons said. It's about God. You have to put God first. When the first African Baptist church was sought for comments, its pastors could not be reached. Things that make you go, Okay. And here's another case. Her name was Candace Peterson. Yeah, Candace Peterson is her name. And so she received a letter from Greater Mount Moriah Primitive Baptist Church in Tampa. Now, the other one was in Georgia. This one is in Tampa, saying that she should be removed from its membership if she did not pay her $50 monthly dues. She aired out her frustration. Here we go. I talked about that social media thing on Facebook and wrote, "What church does that? Why would I want to go to a church that everybody talks about everybody? I just haven't been back to that church. If I'm such a member, why no one called to check on me?" According to ABC Action News, Tampa resident Candace Peterson was shocked when she received a collection notice from the Greater Mount Moriah Primitive Baptist Church, wow, stating that she will be required to pay $1,000 per year in donations or she won't be considered a member of the congregation. People were really friendly there, and I really enjoyed being there, Peterson shared. Ironically, the single mom says that it was a blessing to find Mount Moriah as she's been in search of a church home since she moved to the area 6 months ago. However, this all changed when she received a letter stating that she was behind on payments. Who would have figured? My. And so to be a member in good standings and have the right to vote, adults are to contribute the minimum amount of $50 per month, read Peterson. $50 per month. Now, this shocked me because I haven't heard about the $50 per month. So where did this come from, asked Peter. The Mount Moriah day is on. There's $150. Well, you know, when you think about that, that it raises some real concern because people typically, you know, go to church to go and to want to be a part of a fellowship and want to, you know, most of the time they go in search of something greater than themselves. And so I want to talk about tonight, how does this impact people, one, spiritually, emotionally, and, of course, you know, ultimately, you know, their relationship and as well financially. How does this impact them? And so with that said, I want to now invite my guest my guest for tonight's show, Pastor Ava Gaines. You all remember Pastor Ava, who shared with me before. She's the pastor and founder of Masonic Temple Worship Center in Georgia. So, Pastor Ava, welcome. welcome.
God bless you, Pastor Bridget. Well, God bless you.
Thank you.
A pleasure to be here. A pleasure to be here. Listen, let's just dive right in. It is most disheartening, you know, as a pastor myself to hear, you know, I have colleagues, you know, around the country that are literally putting folk out of the church for not giving, for not tithing, and the one case in Florida for not paying dues, and dues is not even biblical.
Okay.
It is most disheartening. You know, there is a case that made, as you say, you know, now these incidences and these cases are going viral because you know people are just not taking it like they used to take it, you know, but they're, you know, putting the church on blast. Last summer, a woman tried to bury her mother at her home church down in Houston. This woman, precious woman, had been a member of this church for some 40-some-odd years, and of course, but had been sick for about 7 or 8, and so had not been in church. She was actually on the sick and shut-in list, and when her mother finally died, and she, you know, went to the funeral home to make arrangements and had scheduled, you know, the funeral and, you know, had it at the church. And when the pastor caught wind, he told her, no, no, no. You know, your mother will not be funeralized at this church. You know, she hadn't been here, and not only that, she hadn't paid. We hadn't received a dime from her in over 7 or 8 years. And so the woman said, well, you know, my mother's been on the sick and shut-in list, and the pastor was unrelenting, indicating that, you know, she has not been faithful. And so the woman said, well, what about the 40 years she has been faithful? He said, we're talking about now. And and so you had media, you know, putting pressure, but he was relentless. And actually wound up having to go to another church. So when I hear these stories, you know, about pastors being so heartless and not showing any mercy or compassion, you know, with members because they, you know, get in the financial bind and are not able to contribute as they should, or perhaps the church would want them to, and you deal with them so harshly, it is most disheartening. And what really brings tears to my eyes, almost, Pastor Bridget, is that the world now already, you know, is pointing fingers at we as Christians, we as pastors, because they say
right.
we're this and we're that and
right.
and we're hypocrites.
Right.
But when we hear these stories, it only solidifies the accusations that they make against us, and that's mostly heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's very disheartening when you hear that, because you know when I began to look up some of those stories, and of course you know happened to capture some of it, and my heart just breaks because it's you know so opposite of the kind of ministry that Jesus shared with us during his time, you know, during his time here. And so when we see that people, you know, leadership are putting money before people, it just goes against what I believe scripture teaches. And, of course, people can, you know, extract different things and interpret different things. But, you know, those of us who look at the text and are true to the text and looking at it, you know, through the lens of the Holy Spirit and contextualizing it, I find nowhere in Scripture where, you know, anybody has been excommunicated, all right, because put out, whatever you want to call it, because they failed to pay tithes. If anybody listening can find it in Scripture, you know, please educate me. I may be a little ignorant. I'm always open to learning. If you find that, then share with us, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to know as well, because I've gone through the Scriptures, old and new. I can't find it. Not for that reason.
Yeah. Right, right. Not for that reason at all. And when you're talking about, you know, mothers of the church, I mean, when you think about mothers of the church, and some of them probably been there, of course, longer than the pastor, who's probably currently serving, and the leaders of, that are under, you know, serving under the pastor, who probably have supported the church, you know, more than they could ever imagine. And then, you know, considering, you know, their own resources, and probably have gone, you know, far and beyond in supporting the ministry. And they probably put so much time even, you know, in ministry, and having that obviously not be considered is most egregious. And as you stated, does not demonstrate the compassion and heart of God. And God is full of mercy, full of mercy.
Yeah.
And so where's the mercy in that? Because you don't see it. And you talked about the pastor in Houston and, you know, folk pulling on the pastor and trying to sway the pastor to go ahead on and let this young woman bury her mom, who had been a member of the church for so many years, and because she had become sick, to no fault of her own. You know, how dare you? You know, how dare you do that? And so I can imagine, you know, God looks down upon this and he has, you know, shake his head at us, because we have gotten it so twisted. And when there is such a pervertedness about, you know, the use of finances in the church and where we are today, we are far from the intent, even as we go back to the Old Testament, of course, in the New Testament. I like to say the Old Covenant and New Covenant. When you look at how it was, you know, dealt with and how it was used and dispersed, in a real sense, the church today is far from that. And I'm not speaking of churches that aren't, because we thank God for those churches who are doing the model ministry as set up and outlined in Scripture when it comes to that, you see. So we need to be really, really careful, you know, how we and the other thing is how we handle God's people, how we handle them.
Yeah.
And we talk,
yeah.
you know, because – In a big sense, many folk, you know, have been so injured, you know, due to incidents, you know, such as rendering hurt and being unkind and unjust to the members. And so, you know, as you stated, the church has gotten a bad rap. Some of the stuff is guilty of and other stuff is not. But when you hear that, those who don't go to church, those who are unchurched, have a lot to say. And so you give them some ammunition, you know, you give them some firepower to fire at the church, you know, right or wrong. You know, they, you know, of course, you know, the truth be told, they have no right to judge the church. However, when you have craziness like this taking place, you just open up, you know, you open up that little can, and that's exactly what you get. That's exactly what you get. And so, I think about what it happens to the heart and the mind of the individuals who were kicked out. You know, the 94-year-old woman. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, what does that do to her? I mean, think about emotionally, Pastor Ava. Think, what say you? What does that do to her emotion? Well, let's say spirit. Let's deal with the spiritual part first. What does that do to her spiritually?
You know, my eyes water up, you know, even just, you know, thinking on your question. What does it do to her? You know, a 94-year-old woman, you know, who has been practically the heartbeat of that church for over 50 years, now put out because she's unable to, you know, contribute financially as she has in days of old. You know, to her, to what it, I mean, that letter and what it does to her spiritually, well, let me say this. I'm going to say what it has the potential to do to her spiritually.
Right.
I'm going to hope and assume that the letter, you know, did not break her, and that she, you know, has the tenacity and the will, you know, to you know, still have Jesus' joy, you know, and not be defeated by the letter. I'm going to hope and pray that that's her position. But spiritually, for a person who perhaps does not have the inner strength or is not as rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, perhaps as mother is here in Georgia, doing something like that spiritually has the potential, you know, of really, you know, crippling a person spiritually, you know, and it has the potential of really, you know, causing them such a setback that, like, okay, well, wait a minute, you know, if the church is going to do me like this, I might as well be a, you know, I got treated better in the world than I did in the church. And letters like these can actually drive folk out of the church, away from the church, and back out into the world, and potentially, you know, cause a stain in their relationship with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus warns about that. Woe be unto you, you know, who create a stumbling block, you know, for those who desire to come in. You know, so you know, these pastors, you know, and not just, you know, but all of us as pastors, we have to be very, very careful, Pastor Bridget, as you said a moment ago, of how we handle and treat the people of God. Because when it's all said and done, you know, believe it or not, you know, the people that we shepherd, the people that we pastor, you know, their blood is on our head. You know, the scripture says that, both in the Old Covenant and in the New, as you say. So we have to be very, very careful of how we handle the people of God, you know, and make sure that, you know, we don't damage them physically, emotionally, and most of all, spiritually. Because God will, as shepherds, as leaders, hold us accountable for what we do to them.
Amen. 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 So true, Pastor Ava. You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking about the fact about the woman who couldn't, you know, wasn't there, and how, you know, she was sick, and the letter had something in there to the fact that, you know, not just tithing, but her participation. Now, how would you, you know, how is she expected to be there to participate if she has physical limitations? Now, that's clearly insensitive, mm-hmm. and we know that as her nephew said, that, you know, it takes money to run the ministry. We get that.
Mm-hmm.
We get that.
Mm-hmm.
But it should never be to the detriment of a person's commitment and connected to the fellowship and wanting to be a part, even if they can't physically be there or financially afford at the present moment due to some restrictions. And so what it says to me is that there are some who are a part of the ecclesiastical body, you know, who does not seem to put perspective on that. And, you know, so, you know, when you got people who are operating out of another spirit, and
yes,
another
yes.
mindset, and you know, I try to be diplomatic. We talked about
mm-hmm.
that past eight. So
mm-hmm. It sure did.
And you go right for the juggler. So you know, I'm trying to, you know, be a little diplomatic about it. But in real talk, those who don't care about
mm-hmm.
the sheep who are too fleecing the sheep, because you got those who are fleecing the sheep.
Yes.
And you know, that right there is just ungodly. We have to call it what it is, ungodly. So
yes.
ungodly. And you know, when it becomes profit over people, you know, a profit over people, then we have crossed over into another lane, a whole another dimension.
So not the spirit of Christ. So
not
the Spirit of Christ.
So
when we look at the ministry of Jesus, you know, we never see Jesus. We can take Matthew chapter 18, okay,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus in that chapter, he says, okay, look, you know, if you've got persons, you know, that aren't intent, you know, or just have no desire to turn from sin. And, you know, what you do is you admonish them, you know, you show them, okay, look, you know, what you're doing is sinful, not pleasing to God. And if they won't listen, you know, you bring some others and, you know, and try to persuade them to turn from sin, because Jesus always, you know, did challenge us to turn away from sin. You know, but, you know, he says, you know, but look, hey, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if they still won't, you know, he said, then, you know, gently, Jesus said, gently, you know, you separate yourself from them, you know, and of course, you know, getting, you know, a letter, you know, to me, Pastor Bridget, is not even gently. Well, first of all, you know, it's not cause. You know, to separate
right.
a member.
It's not within the parameters.
Yeah, right, right.
It's
so
not
so
even,
that's not
yeah.
even a cause.
Yeah.
I mean, because Jesus
yeah.
had mentioned sin, you know.
Right.
And when I say, you know, sin, I'm sure he was talking about the sin that would bring destruction, you know, to you as a person, you know, and therefore perhaps to the church body.
Sure.
But, you know, someone who don't pay dues, you know,
yeah.
how does that bring destruction to the church?
How does that, you know, and spreading, because Paul talks too about a little leaven the whole batch.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was always tied and connected to, you know, spreading, you know, sin throughout the church, throughout the congregation. It had nothing to do with, you know, tithing. And it was always, you know, within the guidelines of trying to get people to repent, you see.
Yes.
And
yes.
To turn around and to
mm-hmm.
commit themselves
mm-hmm.
to the ways of the Lord. You know, even when Paul dealt with the brother who was sleeping with his father's wife. So
right.
it is always there to help correct the situation and rectify it. You, because this right here is something, you know, this is man stuff right here. This is so
yes.
man
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like,
not,
where
not,
is
not
God,
even biblical.
Right?
Right, not
yes,
even biblical.
This stuff ain't even biblical.
Not
this
the
stuff
spirit
ain't
of Christ, not the spirit of yeah. Christ, no shape, form, or fashion.
No.
It's
no,
not.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not whatsoever. Not whatsoever. You know, and I kind of say it's indicative of the times in which we're living in, right? I
mm-hmm.
mean, the times
yeah.
in which
mm-hmm.
we're seeing, and then we talked about this a little bit, you know, Pastor Ava, I just said the world has just gone, what did I say earlier? You know, it's
gone.
It's off the rails or something.
Yeah, off
you
the
know.
Rails. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, off the rails, and you know, it's
no, actually you said it, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I said interesting.
Yeah,
yeah.
You said interesting.
Yeah, we live in interesting times and events,
mm-hmm.
and so
mm-hmm.
you know it is not so. It shouldn't. I guess to us, those of us who are in the body, who share the faith, shouldn't find it, you know, as strange. But at the same time, when we see all of these things that are taking place in the world, we still ought to be grieved when we see things happening in the church that has crept in that is not reflective of the image of Christ. And the other part to that, the other sad reality is this, you know, folk in the world sometimes don't handle folk the way that folk are handled, you know, in church and by its leadership.
That's true.
Sometimes
true.
The world is a little more compassionate and considerate
mm-hmm.
and dealing with, you know, quote unquote, an offense or an objection that they may have, you know, about something you've done or said. And so
mm-hmm.
it is quite, you know, hard. Wrenching and heartbreaking when you see it coming, you know, out of the bounds of the church. That's sad.
Because very much.
And then talk about how it impacts people emotionally. You can have folk who leave the church. Who knows what's going to happen to the young woman who talked about how she looked for the church. You know, she was looking for
yeah.
church, and it took her about
mm-hmm.
6 months or so. You know, she wanted to bring her family. She wanted to come into the church, and she thought it was a nice place, and people treated her nice. And then just imagine to get that kind of letter telling you about New Ann Page and dudes after
mm-hmm.
you've been searching. And so emotionally, that has an effect.
Yes, yes.
You know, the potential can be very damaging. You've had folk who have left the church. You know, and we know a lot of that sometimes is tied up to folk where they are in Christ in their walk. But some of the best of folk who have left church, you know, left the church. I'm not saying God per se. Some of them have done that too. But some mm-hmm. folk who have left the church because of some of this spirit and mentality that we see in the church house. So it messes with folk emotionally. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I know I don't want to be anywhere that affects my emotional well-being.
Absolutely. I was sharing with someone, matter of fact, Saturday, long story short, you know, prominent, church in the Oak Cliff area. The pastor died, and she was, sharing with me, about how hurtful some of the members, and outright cruel, that they have been, and I told her, I said, well, look, you have to understand, there are two types of people in the church. There are the church folk, the churchgoers, those who go to church. I said, and then they're kingdom folk. I said, so the kingdom-minded folk, are focused, they have the spirit of Christ. They're focused on God and his kingdom, and growing and nurturing in Christ Jesus. I said, because even if we disagree in the church, kingdom folk will say, okay, look, you know what? I don't quite see it your way. I don't quite, can't quite go with you, with this decision. But you know what? I'm going to support it. I'm going to support you. And, you're still my brother. You're still my sister. That's kingdom folk. Church folk, mm-hmm. if you ain't on my page, if you don't disagree with me, then okay, next thing your throat is cut from ear to ear. You need a tourniquet because you're bleeding because you've been cut so bad because, that's how church folk do. And I had to remind her, I said, now watch now, it was church folk and church leaders that crucified Jesus. The Romans Amen. Just carried it out, but the church Amen. Leaders actually put him to the cross.
Right.
It was church folk.
Right. So the church folk can be really, really treacherous. Amen.
Very
Amen.
Treacherous. It does, but yeah. I tell you, you have to understand, who's who. Church folk, kingdom folk. Kingdom folk don't operate like that.
Right. They're on a whole nother, level. And
whole nother
operate
level.
Out of a whole nother, the spirit of Christ. That's where they are. That's where they are because they're interested in building. They're not there to destroy and to tear down. They're there to lift up. Now, if there is correction to be made, there's correction, but always correction in love and building. Always.
And kingdom folk don't mind being corrected if they're in error. You're right. Okay, well, because I'm to the point now. I want you to tell me. Okay, Ava, you ain't right, or that, I said, okay, and saying I don't mind looking at me in the mirror and say, okay, girl, you get it together. So I don't mind, but see, that comes from maturity, and being kingdom minded. You got a lot of pastors who are wrong and don't want you to tell them that they're wrong. And I don't understand. I said, well, how are you going to lead and shepherd God's people when you yourself, walk in error, and you yourself not right? Because remember now, it trickles down from the head, it flows down.
Sure. And the other side of that is, accountability. When you have mm-hmm. leaders who don't have someone that they are accountable to, and that perhaps not mentoring them, you run into that you know, one man show. This is mine, and this is the way it is. You know, authoritarian kind of thing. And you can't tell me anything. And it's so bad because the truth of the matter is what they're saying in essence is, God, you can't tell me anything.
Right.
You see.
Right.
I got this all under wraps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But God, you called me, but, you know, how crazy does that sound? God, you called me, but you can't tell me anything. You can't tell me how to run this. And when correction come, you know, from and they, again, it goes back to that accountability where they should have someone that they're accountable to, who they respect, you know, a man or woman of God, maybe an elder, that they, too, can get some correction from. And I think about David, and I think about the prophet, Nathan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's there's accountability there. There ought to be accountability there always. Always.
You know what amazes me, Pastor Bridget, about these pastors, you know, sending out these letters? Mm-hmm. You know, no officer, no deacon, no trustee, you know, or even the church members, you know, said, Pastor, no, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, no, Pastor, you know, you can't do that. That is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, you know, amazes me, you know, that no one in the church, you know, became an advocate, you know, for these people, you know, who, you know, were, you know, lost their job, or, you know, wasn't able to, you know, contribute, or who, you know, who've been on a sick and shut-in list and not able to serve and work anymore. No one in the church became an advocate for them to say, okay, look, this is wrong.
Interesting. How true.
Because in the case of the woman here in Georgia and the woman in Houston, both of those were widows. And in the New Testament church in Acts, you know, they were admonished. Matter of fact, it was a commandment that you take care of the orphan and the widow.
Right.
But now in the 21st century, we got preachers putting the widows out of the church.
Oh my gosh. That's so messed up. That is so messed up. We're so out of order. So
out of order.
Lord.
But as you say, and I brought that point because when you said, you know, like, you know, that there's, you know, these pastors have to, you know, have some accountability. But, you know, no one in the church, even officers, said, no, Pastor, you know, we can't do that. You know, we can't put people out of the church. Not for that.
Yeah, not for that. Absolutely. But again, you know, Pastor Ava, you know, there should be some advocates to stand up and say something. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people are so tied up to the leadership, you know, until they have exalted the leadership in such, you know, in such a magnificent, magnetic way, that, you know, they're so caught up in it themselves that they don't have the boldness or even the insight, you know what I'm saying,
that's
to stand up and to call wrong, to call a thing as they say a thing, you know, this is not right, this is not right. And then sometimes you have folk who are profiting too, right along with the leadership, you know, they're part of the circle.
That's true.
So
well,
if I say something, Pastor, put
me off the board. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have that, you know, that mentality as well. I'm going to open up the phone lines at this time and see if anyone would like to have your say. So if you like to have your say, so some of you who are already on the line, just press one. Just press one. So you can chime in as well and. Have your say-so. Tell me what you think about this whole thing about, you know, should churches kick members out for not paying tithes? You may have a different say, or you may, you know, kind of agree that they shouldn't and just want to have, you know, your say shared with us throughout the airway. So if that's you, press 1 so you can join in with Pastor Abe and I in this discussion about, you know, tithing and all of that. So let's see if anybody's on the line.
Hello, Steve.
Hello. Okay, I guess I don't know if someone got disconnected or what.
I heard somebody.
Yeah, I don't know. They may not have been able to hear or something. But we just want to make sure that, you know, we want to promote wholeness and healthiness.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Health, good
yes.
health. Good health for the body of Christ and for believers.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you hear stuff that causes harm, because, you know, the real sense is just not, even though it's local, it's just not localized. It affects the entire body.
It does. It does.
Affects the entire body.
It does. You know, and you have to wonder, I mean, if you can't find mercy and compassion in the church, then, my God, where can you go?
Yeah. Not, you know, the crazy things when people go to the bar and find it, my God. But it's crazy. Let's see if we have anybody else. Let's see.
Hello.
Hello, would you like to have something to say?
Yes, I've been listening. Very, as someone said, interesting. The scripture says, let the wheat and the tare grow together, right?
Uh-huh.
So from my understanding, you're going to find that. And
who
someone
am I speaking to? Can I ask you who am I speaking to?
Yes, ma'am. Brother Mike.
Hi, Brother Mike.
How you doing?
Okay. Oh, good. Go ahead with your say-so. Go ahead.
No, I'm in a total agreement. And I would, as the both of you were speaking, I was thinking what the scripture says, let the wheat and the tare grow together. And someone else mentioned about the fear. I have been in a church, matter of fact, not over that, but
okay.
I have been in a position that I stood for the truth. And because the pastor had influence, they was able to persuade everyone else to turn against me.
Mm.
Or, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's hard sometimes to stand up. And not everybody have it. Well, it's a choice if you're willing to pay the price. Because usually you're going to stand alone.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes you're all by yourself. He is so right.
That's true.
Can I make one more comment?
Yes, go ahead.
On what you just said. Sometimes you're always by yourself. But you ever notice the people who made a difference in the Bible wasn't called in a group? From the apostles, from the prophets, you know, it's like one should chase 1,000 and two should put 10,000 to flight. So it's like you condition to be able to stand alone if necessary. But you're a comfort even in your aloneness. You know, you find something that actually keeps you, and you rather stand alone with Christ than to stand with the herd without him.
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
Sure. That's some good stuff, Brother Mike.
That's a good word, Brother Mike. Good, powerful
Amen.
Word.
Yes. And we have to be mindful of that because, you know, a lot of times standing alone will cost you. But in the long run, when you know you have stood up for Christ and for the cause of the cross, it's worth it. It is worth it.
At the end of the day, it is worth it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brother Mike, for sharing with us. We appreciate your insight.
Okay, and thank you for Brother Spencer Boyer gave me the number Saturday, and that's why I was able to get on the phone today.
Oh, wonderful. Bless you.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you
for sharing. That was powerful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Now, what do I hit to close?
We just lost Brother Mike.
Hopefully he's
still on. Yeah.
Let's
see, is there anyone else? Anybody else? Hello? I don't know what happened with that caller. But Pastor Ava, Brother Mike was so on point, wasn't he?
Oh my God! I mean, he hit the nail right on the head. You know, like you know, he's piggybacking on what I said a moment ago, that a lot of times, you know, people are afraid to actually stand up when they see wrong, because you know, that's like, okay, well, if I do this, then you know, the pastor probably has so much influence, then I'll be out here all by myself, and everyone will be against me, or I might lose my position. But you know, you have to decide, okay. What's the price I'm willing to pay to be right? And
right.
I so liked his last statement. It is far better to be alone and with Christ than to be in a group without him. I love that. I love that.
Now that will preach and minister for sure.
Oh,
for
I love
sure,
that.
For sure, for sure, for sure. And, you know, the other part that I kind of wanted to, you know, wanted us to touch on too, Pastor Ava, I put out there the question about how does it impact people emotionally, and, you know, sometimes it causes people to leave the church, and sometimes people can feel isolated, and, you know, when people feel isolated and rejected, because sometimes they can interpret that as a rejection of them, you know, and sometimes people, that can lead people to go into a depression. And then it can cause some people to, you know, to feel some kind of way and maybe have some kind of complex that they weren't adequate enough, you know, and even sometimes to question God. And so, you know, that those are the kind of things that can be birthed, you know, out of those incidents. And
that's
real.
True. So
that's
true.
Real.
So,
and
so
then the
true.
Other part is, you know, how can it impact people financially? Sometimes people, if they feel like, okay, they feel so much pressure, you know, they're reaching and trying to, even sometimes they may borrow money to pay tithes. And then some people, you know, have bills and, you know, things that, you know, gas and electric and water bill and stuff, you know, cut off, and maybe, you know, mortgage money, you know, things of that nature where they go into deeper debt. And that's not God's best. That's not God's way.
Not at all.
What do you think about that, Pastor Ava?
You were so right, you know, Pastor Bridget. You know, that is not God's way. People, you know, and I think, you know, turns a lot of people off because it's been told to me so many times, you know, out there, you know, in the highways, beating the bushes, you know, trying to, you know, draw folk into the church, and, you know, and I hear, well, you know, Pastor, I would go to the church, but, you know, God dog, y'all just ask for so much money, you know, and I tell them, no, it's really not a money thing. Yeah. I mean, and so, you know, people feel like a lot of times that the church just puts so much emphasis on money that, you know, I've had members, you know, to go borrow money from, you know, from Rob Peter to pay Paul to pay, trying to pay tithes and offerings, you know, because of, you know, the negative image, because the church I had in when I was in Pennsylvania, you know, every quarter, you know, they put in the bulletin, you know, the members giving, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and so folk knew that, okay, they didn't want to see like a zero by their name, or they didn't want to see like, okay, $100, you know, by their name. You know, when you've got, you know, scores of other members, you know, for the quarter, you know, they've got like, you know, $5,000, you know, $10,000, $6,000. But I had to tell the people, look, you know, if you have it, you have it. If you don't, you don't. You know, but, you know, folk often feel shame because when the quarter comes and they look and see, you know, the contribution for the quarter, you know, they've got minimal amount of money by their name. You know, and that just, you know, I've had folks that leave the, and actually we got to the point that where we just stopped, you know,
yeah.
we just stopped making it public.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because it became, you know, for the ones who were high givers, you know, I find that they were competing with the other high givers. Okay, now next quarter, you know, I bet I beat you by $1,000, you know. So it got competitive, and then, you know, the folks who didn't have, you know, were shameful. So, and I was like, okay, this is not what Jesus died for. You know, it's really not, you know. This is not the New Testament model of the church in Acts. You know, that none of this is what we're doing is biblical. So let's just cut all of this out, scrap this, and let's just get back on track, you know, of doing it, you know, the right way, you know, and giving, you know. God, you know if you're giving or not, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, either you're going to give or you're not. Jesus said where your treasure is, you know, there your heart is also. So, you know, if you don't want to give, you know, to God and his kingdom, that's between you and God. You know, ain't nobody going to stand here, you know, and hold a gun to your head and make you give. You know, we just not going to do that. You know, we'll let God just deal with you on that, you know.
Amen. Amen.
We'll just leave it.
And as we're sitting up here, you know, dialoguing about this and sharing, you know, I was, you know, thinking about how sad and such a sad testament to hear someone say that I can't even afford to go to church.
Yes, I've heard it.
What is that?
I can't afford to go to church
because I don't have the money to go. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see, and I've heard that.
Yes.
And, you know, I know you've heard it. And it is so far removed from the kingdom development and the intent of Jesus Christ, you know, coming and dying and suffering and even being resurrected. And also I'm reminded even about our ancestors and, you know, when they went to church and, you know, I'm sure they didn't have some of the stuff that we got in terms of being, you know, being beaten and you know, and you know, almost in a enforcing kind of way, forceful way, in terms of tithing. And they gave what they could give. And they did so much more with the little they had than the churches that we have today, the big major houses. I mean, you know, ministries and all the money that, you know, that's taken into the churches. For the most part, they built hospitals and they built institutions and
schools.
They did so much because they understood the concept of what the giving was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With the little they had, they did great and grand things.
Yes, they did.
You see, because they I just believe they had a better understanding of the purpose and how the money that was brought into the storehouse of God was supposed to be used.
Yes.
You see, it is there to further advance the kingdom of God and to build the people and to serve the community in which it is in. You know what I'm saying? And
yes,
so
that's right.
Our ancestors did so much more, far more, than what we are doing today in the church with our multi-million-dollar budgets. Hello?
We have far more. Yes, we have far more than what our ancestors had, and look like we're doing far less.
Yes, yes.
We got multi-millionaires sitting up in our congregation.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
But yet we still, you know, selling chicken dinners, holding raffles, you know, to add a wing on to the church.
I tell you, we have a whole lot, you know, to think about as believers and encouraging the body to be whole, to be considered, to be mindful about how we, I go back to that word I used earlier in this broadcast about how we handle the people of God, how we treat them, and making sure that we are operating out of a spirit of excellence, a spirit of compassion, the spirit of love, and grace, you see, and grace.
Absolutely.
My prayer is that those who, you know, who have gotten letters, and we don't even know the other ones, like I stated earlier, who have, and we just haven't heard about it.
That's true. I'm sure these are not the only ones, yes.
Right, and the people who have been pushed out of the church just by mere whispers. You know what I'm saying? That whisper campaign.
Oh, yes.
And that's you know, that's detrimental as well. The whole whisper campaign that pushes people out of church. And who, you know, where the cliques and, you know, the clubs are formed, and folk can't come in, and sometimes folk can't come in either. I talked about how some folk, we've heard folks say, I can't even afford to go to church because I can't pay the tithes or give an offering. There's some people who can't come because of the way they dress, you know what I'm saying, the way that they look, that, you know, folk, again, you know, don't welcome people, and we know that the church ought to be a welcoming place, right? A welcoming place. Everybody is welcome, and everybody is treated as children of God.
That's true.
You see, and they're treated like God would treat them. And we know
that
Jesus came to seek and to save the lost.
That's who he came for.
Didn't he say Pastor Ava? He didn't come to be a doctor to those who already had a physician.
That's right. He said the well don't need a doctor.
Right.
Right. Only the sick need a doctor.
Right. Only the sick.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you already healed. You had your physician. You already healed. You're not sick. You see, you're not sick. So those who are sick and who are in need of a physician, those who need to be treated, you are right. But I came for these ones here, the left, these folks that I come for. And so, no leader has a right. I don't care how blessed they may be or how grand and great they think they are. They have no right to put nobody out of the church over tithes and offerings.
That's right. Amen.
Because, again, it's not biblical. We find no scriptural basis for it. Not from the old covenant to the new covenant.
Absolutely.
Where we see people being excommunicated for not paying their tithes and their offerings.
Absolutely. And we're not saying, because we do know that, of course, you know, we as Christians, you know, Christ, you know, we are to be givers, you know.
Right.
So we're not, you know, this isn't an anti-tithing, you know, a program.
Discussion.
You know,
right.
You know, because, you know, we're to be givers, and, you know, the tithe and the offering, you know, so that the work of God, you know, can continue. But in the same breath, what we're saying is that even if you decide not to, for whatever reason, you know, or you just can't, you know,
right,
putting
you
folk
right.
out of the church, you
right.
know, for those reasons, you know, is ungodly.
It's ungodly.
It's ungodly.
Amen and amen. And so, you know, as we're closing out this broadcast tonight, we encourage those of you who have been listening and to share with others. You may know someone who is struggling with a tithe and offering, or someone, you know, who may feel some kind of way because they can't, or the church that they go to shuns them or treat them some kind of way because they may not be able to give at all or give like the others. We want you to encourage them to keep their head up and to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, knowing that if they please God, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Amen.
And that God looks at the heart and man looks at the outward appearance.
Amen. Amen.
And if they're giving out of the treasures of their heart, and we know the woman who only gave, how much did she have? The widow woman, she didn't have anything, but she had a couple pennies.
Couple of pennies.
And she gave, She gave out of her necessity, out of her need.
That's all she
had. She gave what she has. She gave what she could give. And when it's all said and done, when God knows you have given your best, done your best, we know that heaven smiles upon you.
Amen.
So we
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We send God's blessings your way, and we pray that the Lord will continue to be your provider and that he will meet all of your needs, as he is indeed Jehovah Jireh. And Pastor Ava, once again, thank you so much, my sister, for coming
on. My pleasure.
And sharing.
My pleasure, Pastor Bridget. My pleasure, as always. It's always a joy, you know, to be on and to, you know, to share with you, always.
Yes. Share with the listening audience. We have been so very blessed. And so, again, listening audience, we invite you to tune in to next week's show, the same time, same station. And as usual, special shout out to Pastor Dr. Rosemary Cook for the opportunity. Until we meet again, be strong in the Lord, as I've already stated. Live in the light of love and walk in the abundance that God has promised those of us who are connected to the covenant. Walk in your covenant blessings. Take care. Peace and blessings.
Welcome to the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and your soul. Every Monday, it is Totally Whole with Pastors Bridget and Pastor Cook. Every Tuesday, it is the Old School Mix with the world-famous DJ Davey D playing the hottest old school R&B, hip-hop, and reggae mixes around. Every Thursday, there's something new just for you. The first Thursday of the month opens with Total Empowerment with Angela Hardy of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa. The second Thursday of the month is Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey talking about relationships. Get your relationship questions answered with One Love, One Connection, One Us. The third Thursday of the month is Reverend Jamel Gilliam with The Man Show. It's time to man up with the brother himself, Reverend Jamel, on The Sacred Masculine. Every fourth Thursday of the month, it is The Inner Consciousness with Reverend Harvey L. Bailey. It is the self-help show. And just for you, we have a special. On the fifth Thursdays of the month, we have Arlene Cahet coming back with Healing Paradigms, and she's going to offer you all the healing that you need. On Sundays, we have Updraft with the delightful Deletta Gillespie. You won't want to miss an hour or a minute or a day on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul.